In the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Before we pray, please turn to Isaiah 51. The first part of the chapter basically talks about the messages of God to His people. Right. So, I think we are going to briefly go through some of the messages here, especially for us who want to serve the Lord here. I feel that this chapter is quite relevant to our work in Africa, or even to our work in our own local church. Alright. Here the Lord summoned the people to gather together to listen. Now if you read verse 1, here He said to the people, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug." Now we can also read verse 4, this one is like the second part of the message. "Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as the light of the people." And the third part of the message, as far as I can see, is in verse 7. "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their revilings." This chapter, the first part of the chapter, as I said before, records three messages. And when you read it carefully, you find that in each message, we can gather some important teachings for our life and also for our work. And as we move on from one message to another, we can see the improvement that God can help us to achieve through listening to His Word. Okay. Now, I think if we come back to 51, verse 1 to verse 3, here the Lord said to those who follow after righteousness, those who seek the Lord, what should those who follow God's righteousness do? Yeah, the first thing that they need to do is to look to the rock from which they were hewn. Right? I think that is a quite important message to the people at the time, for them to understand that they belong to God. Yeah, because God is always referred as their rock of salvation. Yeah? So they must always look to the rock, meaning that there will always be protection from God. And then verse 2, it says, "Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I call him alone, and bless him, and increase him." Right? Now, the second thing that they need to look at is to look at Abraham, their father, and to Sarah, who bore them. When you look at it, it seems quite surprising. Why does the Bible, or why is that the Lord, ask His people to look at Abraham and Sarah? For what purpose? Yeah. Now, if you think about Abraham and Sarah in the book of Genesis, you will begin to realize that Abraham and Sarah actually were chosen by God, and especially Abraham, he was chosen, in Genesis chapter 12, basically to carry out the will of the Lord, and then so that all the people in the world could be blessed through him, Abraham, right? So I think the first thing that comes to our mind when we think about Abraham and Sarah, perhaps is the covenant between Abraham and God. Yeah, the promise of God. Alright, so we must look at them, meaning that we must remember also the covenant between God and us. Alright, now if you read verse 3, then we can link these two verses together. then we can see a fuller picture of what this writer is talking about. For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Right. Here it seems that there is an immediate shift from the covenant to Mount Zion. Right. Now, for whatever purpose, I do not want to speculate now, for the time being, concerning why Zion has become a waste land or waste place, okay, or she has become a wilderness. I do not want to speculate right now, okay. Now, when you look at the marriage between Abraham and Sarah, right? In fact, after many many years, they still did not have any child, okay. But we find that Abraham, has never lost faith, has never lost faith in God, okay. Now, when we see that in verse 3, when we join these two verses together, here he talks about Zion, at that point in time here, it seems Zion is like a place without people, okay? It's like a place without people. So the people of God must trust that the Lord could work miracle, just like he could work miracle through Abraham and Sarah, right? As we have seen in Romans chapter 4. Okay, today we take this into our context. Sometimes we have many worries for the church and concern for the church, right? If we say Zion is the church of God, we believe that the church will be comforted by God. That's the promise, right? Now, sometimes we find that we even fear that the gospel cannot be spread out to many people. The church is, comparatively speaking, is so small as compared to other churches, right? Very small, right? But what should we do then, right? If we want to serve the Lord, I think the first thing is that we look at the rock, Jesus himself, and then we look at the covenant, right? The covenant that God had given Abraham and Sarah. That is our trust in God, right? Do not feel that because there are not many people coming to the church, therefore we lose faith in the church. I think that is not the right attitude. What we should do is to listen to the message here and believe that God could work wonders, just like he did to Abraham and this Sarah. Okay, I think basically this part of the message that we need to listen is to build our faith up in the promise of the Lord concerning the church. Alright, now we come to the second part. The second part, that is from verse 4 to verse 6, right? Now, what should we listen now? Here it says, listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as the light of the people. Here we are told that the people of God must believe, must trust that, right? The law of God will proceed from him. Alright? Now if we take it to mean the church today, we believe that the law of God will come from the Lord himself. We believe in that. And this is my belief, since the establishment of the church, I believe that the church has been given the perfect gospel of salvation to save. Alright? And we have been given the message of the apostle, and we have been given the message of Jesus Christ, and we also have been given the message of the prophets. Alright? We believe in that. We believe that this message can save. Alright? This is something that we need to have faith in. Alright? Now, if you read from verse 5 to verse 6, basically we want to know that the law proceeds from God, so that the righteousness and salvation of God can reach out to the entire world. Right? Now, again, this is the trust that we need to have in the Word of God. Yeah. Sometimes when we preach the gospel to others, it seems that not many people will listen to us. So we would begin to doubt, you know. Is it because our truth has not been refined properly, put it this way? Or is it because we have not received, yeah, the truth that God wants us to receive? We begin to doubt, right? But we need to have this trust in God, right? That look at the heaven and the sky and the star. Everything will pass away, yeah, but the salvation and righteousness of God shall remain forever. That is in verse 6, right? Now, when I think about the early church, yeah, I say the beginning stage of the true Jesus church, yeah. You know, in Sunderland Church there's a book called the History of the Church of our Church, True Jesus Church. You know, I read it whenever I'm there. I read the book. Then I realized that in the initial phase of the church, they spread very quickly, very, very quickly, right? Now it seems that we have come to a point of stagnant. I believe there are many factors, right? It could be that because we have lost faith in the initial faith that we have in Jesus Christ, right? And it could be that our heart is no longer there, or it have been drawn away by the things of the world, right? But if we think about the past, how the church started, then we should have full faith in the word that we have received from God. Right? We know that the salvation of the Lord will be spread far and wide. Okay. To be honest, yeah, recently, I mean, for the past few years, yeah, since the year 2000, after I'm given the opportunity to serve the Lord in Africa. In fact, I realized that, yeah, especially for the past 1 or 2 years, yeah, in fact, there are many people want to come to believe in the truth, to be honest, which I have never seen before when I first started going to Africa. But for the last 1 or 2 years, many people want to come to believe. I'm going to bear you a testimony, a simple one. Recently, I went to Ghana. I went to a town called Pandu. I've been there many times, But somehow God made use of a worker to preach to a group of people. Yeah, and they all live in a village. And only recently I discovered that. Yeah, and through the mercy of God, the entire village want to come to believe. The entire village. Yeah. So I think what we have to do now, if we want to reach out, yeah, spread the good news to people, first we need to have faith in the Word of God, right? That's why we believe that the Word proceeds from God, right? It comes from God. We need to have faith in that. Okay. Secondly, we look at the way we conduct ourselves, our life, yeah, and to see whether there are things that have prevented us from serving the Lord fully, all right? And thirdly, I think we need to rely more on God, all right? Even though this may seem very ridiculous now, when people say you need to rely more on God, it seems so common. We have heard it so often. Right? That's why we don't really put it into practice or even into our prayers. So I think when we say we need to rely more on God, we have to put our heart into it, right? To start anew and to start afresh. Then we'll see that God is going to work. Okay, the last one, yeah. We turn back to chapter 51. Now it seems that the focus has been shifted slightly. Here the Lord addressed to those who know righteousness and in whose heart is His law. Meaning that these people, if you have the law of God, if you have known about the righteousness of God, there's one thing that you need to do. There's one thing. And what is that thing? That is in the second part of verse 7 to verse 8. That is, you must not be afraid of people attacking you. Alright? You must not be afraid of persecution. You must stand up for your faith. Alright? That's why he said, do not fear the reproach of man. So when you receive the truth, even if you want to preach to your friend may not accept it, may laugh at you, may say that you are so square-minded, stuff like that. Alright? But we need to hold on to that. Right? If we have known the righteousness, and if we have the law of God. So in our work for God as well, we must not be afraid. Right? Even though we have to do it in a spiritual way, right? But we pray that we are given the strength and power to continue to uphold what is right. Right? I think this is the faith that we need to have. I think these are the three important messages given by the Lord to the people at the time. So let's hope that those who are here to join the course, those who have the zeal and desire to serve the Lord in the future or even in Africa, we pray that these three messages can be your motivation so that when you serve the Lord, you can be empowered to do the work of the Lord. Yeah. Just now, before the prayer session, it seems that there are people who want to wants the worker to lay hand on them. Yeah? So, put it this way, it's easier for us. Those who want to want the workers to lay hand on you, please come forward. Yeah, not everybody. Okay, those who need the ministers to lay hand on you, then you come forward. Okay, let's pray.